All right. So today I'm looking for Melissa, Lisa, Rachel, and Emma. As you guys come in, if you want to go ahead and raise your hand, we will get started. Emma, I see you here. So let's go ahead and start with you. Hello.
Hello. How are you? Doing? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am, I can.
Okay. Awesome.
Awesome.
So I originally had submitted my coaching request on an issue that I had with my boyfriend.
Okay.
And I kind of I resolved it on my own, and I just feel kind of horrible about the coaching call now.
Right. Maybe we should coach on that, right?
No, that's just me being. I feel like I took up somebody else's time, but that's a different issue to TDL on. No, he told me that he didn't like to dream or like set goals, and that had really set something off inside of me. Mm-hmm. I think it was because it touched on something in my past that I personally didn't set goals, and I didn't like dream big for myself. I kind of just let life go because I didn't think it would be anything big for me. Mm-hmm. So I came to the realization that he can think whatever he wants and he can live his life however he pleases. And I can still love him and want to be with him and think wonderful things about him and his face. So he is who he is, and that's okay. And it doesn't mean anything bad about me. Right. So it took me about 3 days to figure that out. And a lot of crying and feeling sorry for myself, but it was okay.
Why did you feel sorry for yourself?
Because when I get upset, I turn into a big baby, and I don't really want to face whatever the issue is. Instead, I want to put myself as the victim to whatever feelings I'm creating for myself. So,
tell me what that looks like. You put yourself as a victim. Do you do this? I mean, is this a pattern for you? I mean, you were still a boyfriend, but is this going to come up again?
No, because I like to feel more empowered, because I don't like feeling that I don't have the ability to change something. It sometimes only happens with people that I really care about, because for me, their opinions matter, and because I put importance on their opinions, really. And when I guess it's just like we have a difference in opinion, I get upset about it. Because I'm like, go ahead.
Tell me this. Mm-hmm. All right. This is interesting, because I think what you did was good work, and that you resolved and allowed mm-hmm. your boyfriend to be him. Okay. You mm-hmm. resolved the whole, he doesn't want to set goals. You know, right? That you're right. That's up to him. But then you went down a road that was really interesting. You started talking about how opinions matter to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that dovetail with him? How does that, you know, with mm-hmm. when he didn't want to set goals, what did you make that mean about you?
Well, I think it touched on how I'm doing the work with PMP, and I'm setting goals, and I'm making all of these like future plans for myself and all these dreams. And I kind of made it, I thought, well, he's saying that my goals and dreams are silly, that I'm planning them. Uh-huh. So, and I, that was entirely all me.
Oh goodness, you're breaking up. Come back to me. Oh, Emma, you're saying such good stuff, I'm sure, and I cannot hear you. Hopefully this rides out. Come on back to me, Emma. Are you back? Oh, I've lost her. Doggone it. We were getting ready to do some good stuff. Emma, if you come back in, I want you to raise your hand again. Let's see if she's back. All right, we're totally going back to Emma if she comes back, because we were getting to the good stuff. Okay, Rachel, let's call you up. Hello.
How are you, Kathy?
I'm good, Rachel. How are you?
I'm well. First, I want to tell you, I'm in Nashville too. So
what?
Yes. I'm in Edge Hill Village right now. That's where my office is.
Oh, so cool. Okay.
I live out in Old Hickory, but I am doing the 15K that Corinne is doing.
Awesome.
Are you also doing it?
I am doing the 5K.
Okay, cool.
I'm not ready to train for 15. I could do 10 probably. I will tell you as a sidebar, because I think this is funny. I have done one 15K. It was this time of year. I came in second to last behind an 85-year-old man.
Awesome.
I cried about mile 6 because it was so hot and I was so miserable. And I think it may be a long time before I ever do a 15K in August in Nashville again.
Well, I would suggest the winter warm-up. That's a lot less. It's really hilly, though, because it's in 12 South, but it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not hot. I must say, I usually don't race in the summer. I can't. But, you know, October through April, I'm good.
So. Yeah, 12 South is hilly. The 15K I did was at Shelby Bottoms, so it was nice and flat.
Oh, yeah. But was it the Shelby Bottoms boogie?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I've not actually done that one, but anyway.
Okay. So what are we catching on?
So I sent an email because, I am very prepared. I got all sorts of stuff.
Awesome.
Because, so what I think is, what I'm, you know, I was, Marco Poloing with my accountability group today too, which I just joined. So that's been good, but I think I have a plateau, but I don't think it's, I was also listening to the Plateau podcast and it was 55 and I may have answered my own question, but I think what I really need today is I think just different ways to think about stuff. Cause I've been analyzing all my data. So I don't know if you got the email and I've sent it out just mostly to get it out of my own head.
Well,
but
I did,
it pulled
but
up.
I'd
so
like
basically
to recap it
oh, okay.
so that the people listening to the call might benefit from
sure.
it as well. Okay.
Sure. So I'm an April baby. So I joined in April. My starting weight was 158.6, which getting on the scale today is exactly the same that I today, July 31st, I am the exact same. Now I've moved up and down a bit since then, but that's where we are. I weigh daily, so I have data every day, but I decided to look at my Fridays and, you know, basically what I could deduce from that is that I have been fluctuating from my highest of 161 to 155. I can't seem to get out of this range.
Okay.
I didn't start using the habit tracker until June. And so I did look back on that and I was 75% on plan in June and 79% on plan. Okay. The areas that I was below 80% were following plan, sleep, 2-to-2 eating, and workout self-development for both months. Now the workout self-development, I was tracking that as just workout. So that number I think is actually a lot higher because I listen to y'all every day. So now I know to count that as self-development.
Yeah, definitely.
So I also looked, thing I didn't include in this was I went back and I looked at my overeats. And so funny, it's nice to actually kind of do this in a lot of ways. If I don't have an overeat today, if I do have an overeat today, which obviously we are not done with today, I will have exactly 7 overeats every month since April, which I just think is really bizarre.
Yeah.
So April was 7, May was 7, June was 7, because I am doing my recovery worksheets. And so now I'm like looking at all the data. So here's what I have. So, you know, kind of, and I wonder if, because I don't have a lot of weight to lose. I would like to lose 30. So it's not a ton of weight. I also said I lost, I always was around like 150, 155 my whole life. And I lost 20 pounds my first to second year of law school. And I kept it off until I met my husband. And I like to blame my husband for that, but we all know that's not true. Then I got up to 163, got pregnant, obviously had the pregnancy, and lost all that weight on Weight Watchers. And then I've just been kind of stuck. And I'd like to get back down. I'm in a place where I'm ready to do the mental work on it. Mm-hmm. So, some of the stuff that I wrote down kind of on my way in this morning, and yeah, I was riding in the car, I'm not gonna lie. I have a really long commute. So I'm wondering if
Old Hickory, yeah, into Edge Hill. I mean, so it's not a lot of miles, but it's a lot of time.
No, but I also, my son is at daycare at Congregation Micah on the edge of Brentwood and Green Hills.
Oh.
So I drive there most days. Yeah. Okay. And then back to Edge
Hill. And then into Edge Hill. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have a lot of time to listen to y'all, ton. So it's great.
Okay.
I think there are little things that probably are going to make a huge impact. I'm sure of that. But, one of the things I wrote down, I thought that you would really appreciate was the shit in my diaper smells like, the things that are just like, I'm weighing and it's just pissing me off is that I feel like I can't go an inch off my plan and that I feel really restricted. And I know I need to TDL about that. And I think I want to overeat and lose weight, but I don't think that dog's going to hunt.
No, so, that dog, you're right. That dog won't. It's so interesting that your thought is, though, an inch off my plan.
Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I have to stay completely on it, or I just feel this feeling of restriction.
Well, tell me about the overeats.
Okay. Some of them, I haven't looked at, I probably need to go more substantively into what they are. And I think in the beginning, I was just overeating and not really understanding what they were. And I know a lot of them were habitual and they were a very specific time and place. On my couch, my husband takes my son up for a bath and I'm going to town. It's mama's time. Okay. So I made a rule, a protocol. Part of my protocol was I do not overeat on the couch. And I love that podcast of, if you're going to overeat, then you need to sit at the table and do it. And I'm like, fuck that.
Then I see what I eat, Corinne. No.
So that has been hugely helpful. So actually that's really dealt with a lot of that. You know, I've been, I'll eat a little bit of the mac and cheese with my son and stuff. And on the Plateau podcast, I think Corinne said that can add up to 400 to 500 calories a day. I'm like, yeah. Okay. Sure. But there's definitely a bunch of emotional overeat. So another kind of weird wrench in this whole thing is I am, for the first time in 15 years, as of beginning of July, I am off all prescription meds. And that is birth control and an antidepressant. And I'm trying to manage my mind with it. So yeah, that's fun. So I think there's definitely, I definitely noticed the difference between a habitual overeat and the emotional ones. And so I can go back and look and see what, which ones are emotional, which ones are more habitual for sure. But I realized after listening to, I didn't even finish the full podcast today that, I can't, if I come back to you in 6 weeks and I am like, I am writing my plan. I am following, I am not overeating and I'm still stuck. Then we have a different problem we have to figure out. But I'm thinking, I'm overeating. Yeah, that's it.
Seriously, if it's seven times, that's twice a week.
Well, that's 23% of the month.
Right. And if they're on the couch, cramming in as much as you can cram in while the bath is happening, we're talking about an inch off plan. Okay.
We're talking about again, 10 miles off the plane.
Right. We're talking about more than an inch. We're talking about a couple of feet whatever.
And I'm focusing.
That's keeping you in maintenance. It's those types of overeating that's keeping you in maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a couple
I don't want to say it that way. Let me check that. It's not keeping you in maintenance. It's keeping you from losing weight.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's
the weight that you want to lose.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, one of the things I was Marco Poloing with my group this morning was, am I eating too much? And I literally ran through with them what I'm eating. And I don't really, I'm still dialing into the plus two. I know that it changes on the days that I work out. Ovulating is a fully different thing. Mm-hmm. It's like it changes every damn day. But it's like, and I was thinking, well, do I need to go drastic and just leave half of my meal behind? And I'm like, about that.
to eat to your plus two. And that might be half a meal today, but it might be three quarters of a meal tomorrow. Depends on activity level, you know, it depends on all kinds of stuff. You know, how much you ate yesterday, how much you're eating today. Sometimes it depends on what you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
You might fill up on an avocado for lunch, right? Mm-hmm. And if you have a bunch of lettuce and tomatoes, it would take more food, right?
You know, and so a couple, you know, I've been killing it with my water, but I did want to ask you a question about water. So I use the drink up bottle. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's my favorite accessory. And so I'm counting in my 80 ounce, I drink 80 ounces a day. Mm-hmm. I'm counting 24 ounces of coffee. Should I not count that much?
I probably wouldn't. I'd go a couple of cups at most.
Okay. So maybe 10, because I usually drink 10 ounce and another 10 ounce or a 10 and a 12. So I can count half that and that's not a problem. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, none of it is really a problem. If you're, I mean, ultimately what makes the determination is what color your urine is, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So through the day, if it's lightening up to pale yellow, then you're probably fine. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I drink decaf coffee and count that, and that, you know, just the color of the coffee changes the color of the urine.
Sure. But,
you know, that's kind of something how you feel and what your urine color really dictate. But 24 ounces is quite a bit of a. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I will just not count, because, you know, the great thing about the bottle and the app that I use with it is that I go in and log my coffee, because it's obviously not in the bottle. So I just won't do it. It's super simple to do, and I'll just adjust that. So the other things, you know, my group was telling, you know, one of the things that I do every day is I will eat either half an English muffin or half of a bagel, like, because I am hungry, and I'm doing it if I'm hungry. If I'm not, then I don't. But most days I am. And they seem to be thinking, you know, I wonder if that, I don't think that's, I think it's the overeats are the main problem here, but I didn't know if I should
cut that out. Losing weight because you're eating half a bagel when you're hungry.
I didn't think so.
No, you're not losing weight because you have 7 overeats each month that are more than an inch off plane.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. They're like hours. I mean, they stretch out.
Well, let's talk about those.
Okay.
How can we help with those? How can we level that up? I mean, you said the habitual ones are during bath time, right?
Yeah. And I feel like I have gotten a handle on that.
Okay.
Habitual overeating. Okay. The emotional overeating. That's definitely, it's just, you know, and I know when I'm doing it, I definitely feel a lot more awareness of stuff, but like, here's a really good example. So last Tuesday, this is semi funny story yet also terrible. I get up at 4:00, shout out to Corinne. I'm a 4 a.m. person, and 4:30, I let my dogs out. We have 4. I let them back in, and I am hit with the wall of skunk smell. And one of my dogs got sprayed my skunk directly in the face. Mm-hmm. And of course he walked around my house. So because I was trying to catch him. Mm-hmm. So house is just,
he's probably running from the skunk smell too.
Oh my God. It was horrible. And so it was a really stressful morning. You know, my husband ended up staying home. So I was stressed about that because just, you know, I'm like, oh my God, we're not, you know, what's going to happen? Da, 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 da. Like just all the thoughts in my head thank God he stayed home, because I understand now with skunk smell that, if you don't get ahead of it, it will linger forever. So he cleaned his butt off. I actually think he has a second career in cleaning and deodorizing skunk smell.
Okay.
And it was gone. So, you know, it was not a big deal, but I got to the office and had a really just another, a client situation come up.
Okay.
So it was just a really bad day overall. And I felt like I was, you know, really just like working through, like, I'm not going to eat because of these things. You know, I'm not, you know, I like to say I don't negotiate with terrorists. I'm AKA my toddler terrorism self, you know, so working really hard with it. But by the end of the day, I had just freaking had it. Mm-hmm. And then.
So what does this thought feel like? I'm not going to eat. In response to this, does it feel like white knuckling? Does it feel like you're pushing against it? I'm not going to eat. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to eat.
You know, in the beginning of the day, no, it feels empowering to say that, to just shut down those other feelings and replace it with that. But by the end of the day, when I'm tired, fatigue is definitely another thing. Like if you add fatigue plus me trying to white knuckle, that's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. What's happening is the white knuckling takes energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get tired, and you only have so much willpower.
Yeah.
Okay? Oh, yeah. It's like a gas tank. When you get to the bottom of the tank, you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you're using willpower and white knuckling to stay out of the food, mm-hmm. then when you get tired and you run out of willpower, you're going to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're instead of pushing back on those thoughts and those urges to eat, if you're just saying, yes, there's another urge to eat, if you're allowing it to be there without fighting it,
okay,
then the fight doesn't take the energy. The it's that whole resistance versus allowing of mm-hmm. urges, okay? So resisting them is the fight against them. Allowing them is understanding that they're going to be there
mm-hmm.
and not judging them and not wanting them to go away. Okay, so what does all that mean? That's very coach talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
Corinne did a podcast not too long ago that was so good. She talked about this urgent thought that she's had her entire marriage about her husband cheating on her.
Yeah, I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
For years, she would let that thought stress her out. She would white knuckle it. She'd willpower it. She'd like, it's going to be one day he's going to cheat on me. I know he's going to cheat on me. Until she crossed that bridge into, this is just a thought. It's just one of those pieces of shade my brain is going to throw at me because it's used to throwing it at me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to land. I don't have to hate it away. I don't have to make it stress me out. I can just say, you know what? There it is. There's that thought. I hear you, brain. You know what? We're not on there today because he's not. You could do the same thing with this urge to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This is the shade my brain is throwing at me today. Mm-hmm. I know I don't need to eat right now because I'm not at my minus two because I have this fantastic plan and I have these goals.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm. yeah,
you just be there because I know you're coming. You know, that urge to eat is coming. It's going to come up. It's mm-hmm. going to just acknowledge that it's part of the way your brain works.
Okay.
And your brain is doing what it's supposed to do, what it's been trained to do by offering you this alternative to stress.
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And right? I mean, now, of course, because I'm off all medication, which is a great thing, I feel like I have all the support, but you know, the drugs were suppressing all of this. It was like, do-do-do. And so now I said to myself the other day, I'm in the room and like the walls are covered in shit. Everything is. And I was trying to get out for a little bit and now I'm sitting in it. And soon I'm hoping that I will make like shit angels and that will happen.
Well, that's exactly what'll happen. Your brain is used to putting shit on the walls for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the medication just took the smell out. The shit was still on the walls.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
So nothing has changed except you're starting to recognize that it, you know, that's not just brown paint up there. That's
yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to work on that mm-hmm. rather than going, oh my God, it stinks in here. I need it.
So this will probably enrage you slightly. So I have not been modeling and I think I need to. And actually I already listened to the mastering time units already. I know I have to go back and do them. Mm-hmm. One of my goals for that is, you know, I try to TDL in a journal every day, but I'm going to use the sheet and I'm going to model my ass off.
Okay.
Because I think
why do you think you need to model?
Well, I'm just the medication was just everything would just hit right here. It's like this like wall in front of me and it was just hitting me. There's a shield in front of me and now I'm letting it hit me mm-hmm. and I'm not, don't feel like I have all of the tools to, I think I need to model through stuff because I'm not, you know, my husband is very frustrated because he feels that I'm not, like I'm going from zero to, I'm super, super triggery right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going from zero to freaking rage monster. And it's pissing him off as you
on the walls.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. It's, but you know what? Every day I'm just like, I chose this. We are going to do it. We're going to and as Corinne says, we're going to figure it out. I know we will.
So, you will. So here's what you do. Mm-hmm. You know, the difference between a thought download and a model.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thought mm-hmm. download is the dear diary. You just write,
mm-hmm.
and you pull.
And that's what I do. I do that, but I'm not modeling.
You pull one of those sentences out.
Mm-hmm.
And what the model does for everybody on this call that doesn't really get the model is the model, the sentence goes in the thought line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the model, if as you progress through it, through the feeling, action, and result, that model shows you how that thought creates a result. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in your case, you know, the thought, I really want to eat while I'm on the couch. is going to land, you know, is going to give you a feeling of urgent, which is going to make you eat, which is going to result in an overeat on the couch, right? Mm-hmm. So the beautiful thing about the model is it shows you how what you're thinking, what you give weight to in your mind and allow to create a feeling and an action shows you that it shows you the result. So yes, models for you would be a great tool because you're all the time showing yourself what, how you're thinking creates the result. Mm-hmm. One beautiful thing about the model that you could try is starting with the result line.
Oh, okay.
I love this. Okay. If you start with the result line, you decide how you want to show up. You decide what result you want to create. Okay. And let's say it's a calm after dinner time while husband bathes the kid. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what actions do you need to do to create that result?
Okay.
Just give me a couple.
What actions do I need to create calm after dinner? You know, usually, I mean, part of my anxiety is I like to clear. I like to, you know, clean up and that does help clear my brain. So, you know, getting the kitchen cleaned up and
so clean,
you know, doing
kitchen.
All that stuff. Clean up the bonus room from my son being a complete tornado in there.
Right.
And then it's kind of like, okay, so what's left? So that's where I like to, you know, I'm a big crocheter, but I'm crocheting.
Crochet. Yeah. So this is what we're doing. So we've got the model. We're going to calm while bath is what I'm going to put in the result line. The action is clean and crochet, right? Basically. Mm-hmm. To paraphrase what you said, what do you have to feel in order to do those things?
In order to be able to make to get up and do it.
Yep.
Well, I can't. I mean, being tired doesn't help. So feeling energized. I mean, energized. But and honestly, if I overeat at dinner, that definitely does not lead to the result. So put yourself
in this place of husband just took the kid upstairs and you want to create this. Okay. I'm going to be calm tonight and I'm going to get a few things done and I'm not going to eat. Okay. That's the result you're creating. And by doing that, you're going to put yourself in a place where you're cleaning up a little bit, you're crocheting, you're sitting, you know, in a quiet place. How does all that feel? How do you have to feel to do that?
Well, I feel like I have to be calm, but if calm is the result.
How about self-aware?
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
Great. I have a tickle. Sorry, guys.
No, you're fine.
All right. What thought do you have to think to create that feeling?
I think I have to think to myself that, you know, I'm motivated to do these things rather than eat. That makes sense.
Okay. How about just now's not the time to eat?
Okay.
You can fine tune it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And the circumstance is bath time, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's how you reverse model. It's called reverse modeling.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There it is. We worked from the bottom up by asking the same questions, just in a reverse order. What do I want to create is the result line. What actions create that result? How do I need to feel to do those actions? What do I need to think to create that feeling? And what am I thinking about?
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This could be super powerful for you. Okay.
Yeah. And I think doing models is going to be really helpful, but I guess, you know, with this, I don't want to cut into anyone else's time, but do you have any other things I should, you know, I love action steps. So any kind of action steps for me?
Have you done the buffering and urges?
No. I was going to ask if I should.
Okay. You should.
Okay. You should, because of the nature of, well, I don't want to say, I don't want to just lump lawyers into a stressful job category.
Oh no, you can. That's fine.
I used to, you probably know, I used to work for the public defender system.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not just a lawyer. I own my practice. So, yeah.
So you have a lot going on. Mm-hmm. I think recognizing that you are in control of what mm-hmm. you do every day. You're not at the victim of what's going mm-hmm. on around you. You choose every single step of every single day. You've chosen your law practice. You've chosen your solo or owning of the law practice. taking ownership of all that rather than being reactive to it is going to be a big thing for you too.
Yeah. And
you'll learn more about that in the buffering and urges because workshop.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. Yes. No, that's wonderful. I really, really appreciate it. I was like, I'm absolutely freaking terrified to coach with Corinne. And then, you know, I knew that she wasn't going to be there and I was a little relieved, but I was also like, I don't know if this is going to be any better. but that's why I prepared the crap out of this.
That's good. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did. Okay. Cause it's really helpful to see, especially for you who's got all this data that your overeats are probably the first thing you need to tackle.
Yeah. Now,
if you go through all of August and you've reduced mm-hmm. these overeats and I'm talking like down to one or two.
Okay.
And you haven't, and the needle is still not moving for you. Mm-hmm. You need to either get on another call with Corinne or come back to office hours or something like that with more data. And we'll look at the next thing. Okay.
Sounds like a plan. I love it. Right. Thank you, ma'am.
You're very welcome. See ya.
Bye.
All right. Emma, did you come back? If you did, will you raise your hand and let's finish you up real quick? Because I lost you when you started talking about your opinions didn't matter and his goal setting and all that. So if you want to finish that up, go ahead and raise your hand again. All right. Missy, let's take you. Guess I wanted to make sure. Hang on. Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Are you Melissa Spear?
That's me.
Awesome. What's Hi. Up? How are you?
Well, you know, it's so funny how when I was listening to Emma, talk about how she managed to work through her issues. I went through the exact same thing. I emailed support like, oh my God, I ended up like when I didn't hear back on Monday, I ended up like TDLing and modeling the hell out of my problems. And I think I'm good. But then I never heard back from support. So I was like, okay, well, maybe this is a good thing that maybe what I think is an answer, you might have something different to help me out.
Okay. So tell me what you got.
Sure. So I'm a teacher mm-hmm. and I woke up in the middle of the night last week and was like, holy shit. All of it came flooding. I started realizing like, oh my God, I'm going back in a month, mm-hmm. you know, and just all the stuff that normally comes with that. But then this upcoming school year is very different to previous years because I'm at the same school, but I have a new job there. And my son is starting kindergarten at the same school. And okay. so I started just having issues and worrying about, you know, just this new job that, you know, I went for, but I really have to, there's like a big learning curve with this job, but it's exciting and that I can do that. And actually I need that time management course that is up this month because I'm a chronic procrastinator. So of course, you know, at the beginning of the summer, I was like, oh, I've got the whole summer to do all my lesson planning. And it's like, I think I've done like two lesson plans. So I'm like, oh, shit, I've got, you know, 3 weeks. And in one of those weeks, I'm going on vacation. So really, it's not 3 weeks, I've got 2 weeks, and I start kind of getting in like a, you know, vortex of like, shit, oh my God, mm-hmm. you know, I got, but then I started kind of pulling back from that. Like, okay, I don't need to have the freaking entire school year planned for, you know, when school starts. Like, just chill out, like maybe the first couple weeks and I'll be good. Wonder, like, this is so great that the job I have is infinitely less stressful than the job I had before. So I'll have a lot more open time, which is great. So there's that.
Then so what you did, let's talk about that for a minute. So here's what you did for everybody listening. Yeah. She found herself in overwhelm. Oh my God, I have so much to do. I don't know where to start, which leads to procrastination, which leads to just this cycle of not getting anything done and being worried and anxious and overwhelmed and not getting anything done. And what you did was you grabbed yourself and you said, just stop.
Right.
Get out of this cycle. Just do one thing. What's one thing you can do? Because that's how you attack overwhelm. When you feel like everything is coming at you and you don't have any control, you remember that, wait a minute, I do have control. I can do that next best thing. And just sometimes just that little bitty small step toward making that first lesson plan, or the thought you had about, wait, I don't have to plan the whole year.
Right.
I can break it down into smaller chunks, makes it much more manageable and much more controllable in your mind. And that's when you pull yourself out of that cycle and you move into, okay, this is the thing I can do.
Totally. Right? Yeah. So I feel, you know, much better about that.
Good.
And then one issue that has been sort of ongoing. So I'm a single mother. I adopted my son from China 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even when I got him in China, he was, a tank. Very different. I'm like, of course I get the fat kid. That's like terrible to say, but he was a tank when I got him in China. He has naturally adopted all my terrible habits pre-PNP and still working on them. And I find myself, and I know I've watched other videos of parents of overweight children, and, you know, and I try to catch myself not judging and being, you know, I just feel like, you know, here he is, he's coming to my school. I know the community. It's like, you know, I don't want to be the mom with the fat kid. I don't want to be the fat mom with the fat kid. And I know I shouldn't even say that, but those are the things I'm thinking.
Okay. So, like, you've got self-judgment here going, I'm the fat mom with the fat kid. And then you're judging those thoughts too, because you think you shouldn't be saying them.
I'm double judging.
Yeah. You're double judging. So what is it getting you? Nothing, right? Just a big pile of heaping.
Terrible.
Look, you've got Rachel's shit angels.
Exactly. I don't want the shit angels.
So why are you worried about being the fat teacher with the fat kid?
Because it's my issue. And I think, you know.
Right. It's your thought. It's not what anyone else is thinking.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. And if they are thinking that, which they very well could be, why does it matter? And, and I just, you know, it's hard for me, you know, the community that I teach at, I teach at a private school in San Francisco, and they're all, you know, all the moms are at like Barry's boot camp every morning for 2 hours, and they're all fit, and, you know, all the kids are fit. And it's just like, God, I gotta be the single. And the weird thing too is, like, I was telling my group too, like, it's weird, this community that I teach at, like, it doesn't follow any of the other, you know, it's a 50% divorce rate out there. In my community, like, maybe there's like one or two kids with families that are divorced. Yeah. It's all like mom and dad and the kids.
So
none
of that matters.
Right.
All right. I'm doing the Corinne wave here. None of that matters. Right. What matters is the dialogue that you're having with yourself.
Right. Which is, I feel different to everybody else.
Because you're comparing yourself to everyone else. Right.
Compare and despair.
Yes. Yes. That's what.
How do I stop doing it?
You just stop. You catch those thoughts. All right. It's just like Rachel, just like everybody else, just like Emma, who I'm fixing to talk about because she can't come back.
Right.
Your brain is throwing these thoughts at you because that's what it knows what to do. That's what it knows how to do. It's telling you, you know, it's telling you what you're repeating in your own mind, what you've practiced in your own mind.
Right.
Okay. You're different. You're a single mom. You're not divorced. Look at this amazing community that I somehow landed in that I don't belong in. It's just telling you what you're telling yourself.
Right.
Okay. So what you have to do is say, all right, brain, those thoughts don't help me. I hear you. They don't help me. And judging the thoughts, saying you shouldn't have them, that's a whole nother level here, right? Because you're going to have them. You may as well allow them to be there. And you just say, these are the ones that really don't matter.
Yes.
I'm going to create some new thoughts that really do matter. Like, I saved this kid from China. I love him. He's my heart. He's my soul. We're going to be healthy people. Right?
Yeah.
And when that thought comes in and says, oh, look, fat teacher with the fat kid, you say, thank you. That's really not helpful here. Because when that thought happens, I create this result, and it's the spinning and the self-judgment and the, you know, opposite of self-love or whatever it is that you experience.
Right.
But when you say, you know what, together we're going to be healthy because I'm learning all these things and I love this kid with all my heart, then that brings up a whole different result.
Yeah.
So you let those thoughts be there. You allow them to, you know, because you know that that's what your brain is doing, exactly what you've taught it to do.
Yeah.
And you just start teaching it other things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it takes practice. You know, you're not going to be able to flip this in a day, but that's okay. You just practice it. You find those new thoughts that make you feel good about where you teach and who your kid is and how you show up.
Right.
And those are the ones that you work on.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because, I get these, you know, judgments in my head about like the community too. Like, you know, I got an email, last week about the father son camping trip that they, for the kindergartners. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, shit. Great. Where does that leave me as a single mom? You know, and then it was like one more little thing to chalk up. Like,
Okay. You know? So you see and that then, thought come in.
But
you see that thought
thing.
Come in that says, oh shit, where does that leave me as a single mom? And it takes you right down the toilet.
Totally.
But, right.
And
so how are you going to make this, how are you going to make this camping trip work? What is your son saying?
Sheehan.
How are you going to make
this? Can I just say something? So the interesting thing that wound up happening is, you know, it's like, you know, in my head, I get in that little tailspin of like, oh, I'm not understood. And that I got the most lovely email from one of the room parents yesterday morning saying, we want to be respectful of your family and we want you to feel like you can participate. So here, you know, the committee got together and here are some ideas of how Sheehan can participate. And they listed like 5 different ideas. And it just like touched me so much and made me almost like, you know what? I mean, this is a judgment, a self-judgment too, but almost like shame on me for like thinking they don't have my best interest at heart.
And what I was going to say was you waited for someone else to solve it for you rather than saying, you know what? I'm going to figure out how Sheehan can go on this trip, even if I have to go with him as the mama, because that's okay. Cause I'm mom and dad. Right. But what you did was fine. I mean, you went through a little bit of self-judgment about it.
Right.
But you allowed someone else to solve it for you rather than saying, okay, we've got this event. My kid's going. Here's how I'm going to work this out.
Right. Okay? And I actually did kind of go through that a little bit of like, well, I don't want to be the downer. You know, it's all these dads that, you know, if I'm going to be honest, they're all up there, you know, boozing it up and having a good time. And the kids are running free because as a teacher, come Monday, I hear about all this stuff the kids got up to, you know, but, and so I don't want to be like the woman / teacher at their kid's school. That's like, wah, wah. So I was thinking, well, maybe what I could do is stay at a like hotel nearby and at least let Sheehan you know, run around during the day and then take them, you know, at night. So, and that was one of the suggestions that they gave. But I think more so just was like, you know what, I can't go into this thinking that I, that they don't want, not to say that they don't want me, that I'm, but that I'm not, that yes, I'm a teacher at the school, but that I'm a parent and I can be on the same level. I think there's like, in my mind, it's like there's a weird level difference because I'm not just a parent. I'm a parent and a teach and their kid's teacher.
That's some work that you need to do.
Yeah.
Because you are a teacher there, but you're also a parent.
Right.
And, you know, my kids went to private schools too and yeah. went through with their teacher's kids.
Yeah.
And how you show up in that relationship is totally going to dictate it. If you show up at that campground and you start ordering kids around and lining them up.
Oh, I would never.
All that. Oh, God. Let me talk. Yeah. And yeah. all that stuff. You're going to be the teacher to them. If right. you show up and you make friends with the dads and the moms and the parents and the whoever's yeah. there, then you're the parent. Then you're the parent. You get right. to decide how that relationship is based on Definitely. How you show up. Okay. Totally. But just remember when you're comparing and you're judging yourself. Yeah. You've given control over how you show up to the part of your brain that is going to, you know, have you showing up full of self-doubt and full of
right.
self-judgment and all that stuff.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, totally. Totally. So I think that was the main thing. And just, you know, starting the school year fresh on a good foot. And, you know, I went through all these great things that I have at my fingertips, you know, feeling nervous that while I have this time off this summer and I can dedicate all my time to PNP, that like what will happen when I go back to school and I suddenly won't have that. I mean, I will have that time. That's the difference mm-hmm. is that I just have to make the time. It'll mm-hmm. be different. Mm-hmm. And it's all good stuff. And I, you know, I was thinking like exercise because I'm walking my dogs for like an hour and a half every day. And I'm like, well, that's not going to happen. But we have a gym in our, they built like a workout yeah. gym in our gym with a trainer. So I emailed him yesterday and was like, you know, could you help train me as I'm losing weight? And he's like, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of going through all yeah. the things like, no, I've got all this great stuff. This is mm-hmm. all good stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't
work that mastering time course.
Yeah.
I'm going to work the mastering time course because as you layer back in school,
yeah.
It's going to become super, super important for you to yeah. make sure you're using your time wisely. Corinne says in the course, which I find so fascinating because I've been thinking about it a lot myself. You sleep 8 hours a day, roughly.
Yeah.
You work 8 hours a day, roughly.
Right.
That leaves 8 hours, eight yeah. whole hours to figure out how you want to spend it. So right. it's a really, really fascinating course. So that I would definitely do that if I were you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it because I don't, you know, like in the 24-hour plan, there's that whole schedule on the left. I never fill that out. Mm-hmm. And so my day winds up just like, oh, I just kind of show up and do little mm-hmm. this and do little that. And it's going to be important for me to go through and like, okay, this is when I can get my exercise in.
Yeah.
This is when I'm going to do my planning at night, you know.
Right. This is what I'm going to accomplish during this time block.
Right. Similarly mm-hmm. to the previous call, you know, when Sheehan goes to bed, I'm on that sofa squashing down that cushion, mm-hmm. watching TV, not doing anything. And I've got to rethink that. Like, how do I want my evenings to look where I'm not just vegging out watching Bravo, mm-hmm. All night, you know? So anyway, but it's all good stuff. I'm super excited.
Cool.
So very yeah. good. Thank you.
You're welcome. See all you. Right. Bye. Bye. All right. Lisa, is that you with your hand raised? Awesome. All right, let's see if we can get you on screen here. Hello?
Hi.
Hey.
Can you see me? Can you
yep.
see me?
I can see you okay. and hear you.
Okay, good. This I was my first time doing it, so
thanks
I usually just calling on the phone and listen. So mine feels kind of big. I started June 7th. Mm-hmm. I've lost 10 pounds. I'm hit my goal a week ahead of time.
Good.
I'm getting, taking in everything I can take in to the point I had to slow myself down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing lots of thought downloads and models. And the thing that has come up is that my biggest issue when I do the recovery worksheets is that I don't have the tolerance for uncomfortable feelings.
Okay.
Or painful feelings. But the other thing that's came out of this is that a lot of my stuff is related to my relationship with my partner, like a lot of stuff.
Okay.
And so I really zone in when you guys are talking relationship stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess my question is, how do you know when it's time to just leave a relationship? It feels a lot of times like what I hear you guys saying is just, oh, you just think about it differently. But I'm wondering if there's just sometimes where something's just not going to work. And I've been in this for 8 years. It's mm-hmm. been, it was great in the beginning, tumultuous. It's been so up and down. We live together right now, but there's just a lot of really negative stuff being mm-hmm. said. And like, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells constantly. And I don't know that I can change my thinking around to make it work. I just feel like, is there some time where there's a line where you're just like, no, this is just toxic.
You know, that's a really interesting question because I can't tell you what that line is. I think, is there a point at which you decide a relationship is no longer serving you? Yes. Can I tell you what that point is? No, that's something that you decide based on how you're showing up and how you feel about the relationship. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you bring up the word toxic. That calling a relationship toxic is a thought. Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me what your partner's name is, just so I don't have to say your partner.
Well, can we just call him Tom?
Sure.
I feel Tom. Weird saying his name.
Sure, absolutely. All right. So if we put relationship with Tom in the C line of your model, your thought is, I think this relationship might be getting toxic, right? Mm-hmm. The feeling is what?
The feeling is fear.
Fear.
Okay. I have a big fear of, I went back in the relationship a couple times, like we broke mm-hmm. up and I went back out mm-hmm. of fear, a fear of being alone. My kids have all grown up. I got okay. divorced.
So that's fear doesn't go with the relationship is toxic. It goes with, I'm afraid of being alone. I'm accepting this relationship because I'm afraid of being alone.
Yeah. Well, I think the fear is like, I have to deal with it. Like,
you have to deal with what? Being alone?
The bad relationship. Like, I need to leave it. I need to leave. So maybe I'm jumping ahead in my feelings. But when I think about how bad.
Tell me what you're afraid of.
Well, I'm afraid of that I'll make a mistake to leave. Like, I'm afraid that maybe it's just my thinking, that it is just my thinking, that maybe that this is just relationships and maybe it's all me and in my head. And if I could just think about it differently, which is what I feel like I've been trying to do mm-hmm. for a few years, is just like see the good and, mm-hmm. Or just not deal with it. Just, you know, just shove it down. Use food and shove it down. And so doing all these thought downloads.
Is the fear that you're going to make the wrong decision? The fear is that you'll make the wrong decision?
Yeah, like I'll leave him and it was a mistake.
Okay. Why would it be a mistake?
And then I'll end up all alone.
That's it. That's it. Are you choosing Tom because you don't want to be alone? What if Bill comes along and he's just the same guy as Tom? Are you going to choose Bill just so you don't have to be alone?
Well, that's the thing. That's what I'm afraid of. It's like, well, you know, are you just going to exchange one thing for another? Like, you have some stuff to work out.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with being alone? I think that's what you need to reconcile before you decide whether or not to stay mm-hmm. with Tom. I think you need to figure out why you're worried about being alone. Why are you afraid of being alone?
When the last time I broke up with him and I got my own condo and I literally was having panic attacks. Like I, once I got the condo all decorated and everything nice, and I literally was having panic attacks, like fight or flight. Like I got to get, like it'd be a beautiful day and I had no plans to do with anybody. I don't have a lot of friends. So it's that fear of the.
Why were you having a panic attack?
I don't know. I mean, it was very primal brain, like just, I got to get out of here. I got to run somewhere, but I don't know where to. So maybe I'm a little bit afraid of those. I know I'm afraid of my feelings. I'm afraid of the feelings of it. I think that's sometimes in my heart, I know that the go, but I'm afraid of that. I'm dealing with that stuff.
All right. If you can't tell me what it is about being alone, what thought, you know, is at the core of this being alone thing. Tell me what is at the core of staying with Tom. What does that feel for you?
What is it? If then I don't have to be alone.
So let's move Charles Manson in.
I'm not alone.
Let's move Charles Manson in. You're not alone now. Is that okay?
No.
Let's move James Marsden in. You're not alone. Is that okay?
I don't know who that is.
Sorry. You don't know who James Marsden is? Do I have that name wrong? He's a he's an actor. He was in 27 Dresses or 29 Dresses or whatever with Katherine Heigl and some other things.
Okay.
Jason
Momoa.
How about
Bradley
Cooper?
Jason Momoa?
Any of those. We'll move him.
Yeah.
They're a little, they're pretty to look at, but they're a little vain and they're a little high maintenance. Are they, you know, you're not alone now, and but you're not really connected.
No, but that sounds like what I'm with right now. That's a very good description.
So.
No, that's not right. Even my kids, I mean, the people around me, it's not, that's why I'm like, okay, it can't just be in my head because I, children are saying things and my friends and, you know, like, this isn't right. This stuff isn't right.
What, tell me what isn't right.
You're just different ways. Like my car broke, my car. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're freezing up a little bit, but go ahead.
Okay. My car broke down and he wouldn't give me a ride.
Well, that's the kind of guy I want to be with. I'm sorry. The car broke down and he wouldn't give you a ride. So how is that different from being alone? Oh man, she's frozen up too. Y'all, when you go to the car, sometimes this happens. Okay, so I'm just going to talk, Lisa. I think you really, really need to examine what being alone does for you. Why does it create panic? When it sounds like there are certain times when you are figuratively alone when you're with Tom. See, she's gone too. This is crazy. That's the work that you need to do. I want you to thought download about being alone. I want you to thought down. I want everything to come out about it. Why it causes you panic. Why it might be a good thing. I don't know about some of y'all on this call, but sometimes I like alone time. Sometimes it gives me reflective time. But talk about, think about all the reasons why you are afraid to be alone, why it creates this panic for you. And then when it comes to Tom, you need to think about, make a list of all the reasons that you stay with him and all the reasons that you don't stay with him. And really take a look at evaluating one versus the other. What benefits are you getting from the relationship? And what are you not getting from the relationship? What might you be missing if you stay in the relationship? Okay? And if you haven't worked the Mastering Relationships course, I want you to work it with Tom in mind. I want you to really think about, let's see if this is her. I want you to really think about how you're showing up in that relationship, because that's what defines it. How, what is your name? Lisa shows up, defines the relationship. So if you're showing up out of fear of being alone, he's going to sense that and it's going to affect the relationship. if you're showing up because you love him and because you want to be with him, he's going to sense that, and that's going to affect the relationship. Okay? So really go to work on thinking about where you are with the relationship, what you're benefiting from it, what benefits you're getting from it, and what you're missing out on by staying in the relationship, and vice versa. Okay? Emma, I want to talk to you just a minute. I don't even know if you're still here, so maybe you're listening. I want to talk to you just a minute about your where I thought you might have been going on your call when you broke up and had to leave. You are in a stage in your life where you're doing a lot of personal work. You're doing a lot of goal setting. You're doing a lot of new action items. You're creating new results. Your guy is watching you do all this. Okay? He is not so much really big on setting goals. He is not so much really big on creating all these new results. And he's probably trying to figure out where he fits in with what you're doing. If I had to work his model, and get in his head, he might be feeling a little insecure. I don't know this, okay? But this is something that I have worked on myself in my own relationship, okay? You just keep doing you, because as you manage your life and your thoughts and your weight and your goals, you are growing and becoming a better version of Emma every time you do more work. Every single time you show up and do more work, you are improving your own self-worth and how you show up in the world. So all of that will dovetail with him. Okay, it will either strengthen your relationship or it won't. But you don't back off on any of your work because he's looking at you cross-eyed. Okay, because he's not ready to do his own work. When I first started losing weight, the day I met Corinne, I came home and I told Ken, who was as heavier than I was, had as much weight to lose as I did. I said, I'm going to do this for me, because this is what I want for myself. I want to try this because I'm tired of hurting. I'm tired of the pain I'm in. I'm tired of the emotional wreck of self-judgment I am. I'm tired of all these things. You don't have to do a thing. I still love you and appreciate you exactly how you are. You just keep doing you and give me the space to do me, and everything is going to be cool. So I told him, I said, I'm going to make some things here at home that you might not like. You just go on to Taco Bell and you won't hurt my feelings. That's the freedom I gave Ken, is that when I allowed him to be him and I kept doing me and making me a better me, it just all came back together. Okay? So that's what I have to offer you. I really think that if you just love him and allow him to be the person that he is while you improve, he's gonna understand more about you and give you the space to do what you want to do. That's just me talking. I hope that's helpful. Let's hit this Q&A real quick. I think I want to make sure. Okay. Let's hit this Q&A and make sure we don't have anything crazy here. Emma says, I'm sorry for the connection issues. I'm not sure it will come back. I'd like to talk again on your next coaching date with better connection. I wanted to get coached on my anger and anxiety. Yeah, Emma, I'll be on office hours next Tuesday night, 6 p.m. You can always email support and get back on one of Corinne's calls as well. If you'd rather talk to her, either is fine. Candy Graham says, which podcast was it where Corinne talked about the thought of her husband cheating? I struggle with this as well, especially now that he's lost weight while I'm still 75 pounds to go. I don't remember exactly which one it was, Candy. It was very recent, though. So, it was about self-judgment. It was, you know what? It was the one that we did on journaling questions, the questions to journal. And it, I think it just released within the past few weeks. So it was about how to, the best journaling questions to ask yourself, I think is what it's called, something very similar to that. I've lost 10 pounds in about a month and a half. Great. I've been with PMP since January. I noticed that I have isolated myself more and more and I'm not going out to eat or even leaving the house much for fun activities because every time I do, I cave and eat. I'm scared to trust myself out at restaurants. I don't want to sabotage the great weight loss I'm having, and I know what that restaurants are my weakness and I'm not ready to deal with it. But I also don't want to be a hermit. How do I gather the confidence to go out to restaurants and stop avoiding my food fears? Okay, Sherry, it's okay to know this about yourself. It is not okay to hide yourself and not learn from it. So what I would do is I would stop telling myself first, I'm scared to trust myself at restaurants, and start telling myself I'm learning how to trust myself with food, including restaurant food. Okay. I would repeat that thought. I would have that as a power thought. I'd write it on my journal over and over and over again, because this is what you are learning to do. You're learning to do it at home. And soon you will be ready to test this at restaurants. When you're ready, pick a restaurant, look at the menu, decide before you go, I eat this or I eat nothing. Go there and eat it to your tune. Order, you're going to feel super uncomfortable. You're going to be like, okay, I picked this salmon salad or whatever you pick. I wouldn't pick salmon salad, but because I don't like salmon, but I picked this salad, but I really want the chicken tenders. Oh my God, I want the chicken tenders. That's when you just have that conversation with yourself saying, no, Kathy said, this is what I do. I picked it ahead of time. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat it to my two. I'm going to feel all the weird discomfort. I'm going to hear all the self-sabotaging thoughts, but I'm going to do this anyway. Then I'm going to go home and journal about it. When you do this, Sherry, I want you to post an Ask Coaches. Okay? I want you to get an Ask Coaches and say, Kathy, I went to the restaurant. I decided ahead of time. This is what came up for me. This is what it resulted in. Now coach me. Okay? I want you to give it that first shot. All right, everybody, that is it. Thank you so much for coming. I hope the call was helpful to everyone. And let's see, we are in Vegas starting tomorrow through Sunday. So Corinne's call Sunday is canceled, but she will be back next Wednesday to coach all the things. Guys, have a great rest of your day, and I will see you soon. Bye-bye.